Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and read and discuss the Word of Life for September. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, 540 Hiawatha, has planned a very special family festival for Saturday, October 2nd. It's called Fiesta del Barrio, and it will feature live music, many delicious foods, a mercado, and rides from 3 until 10 p.m. It's a great opportunity for the entire family to get out of the house and enjoy the great outdoors with friends and neighbors, and enjoy the festivities as well. For complete information, call Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church in Corpus Christi, 361-882-1951.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very, very well. How are you, Barbara? And
I'm fine, thank you.
Greetings to all our listeners this morning.
Yes, and it's hard to believe that this is Labor Day weekend, since tomorrow is Labor Day.
It is. Yeah. Happy Labor Day to everyone.
Yeah, kind of the official end of summer, so to speak.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
For sure. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7, verse 31 to 37. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre, went by way of Sidon, to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. The people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him off away by himself, away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, Bishop, this is another event where Jesus does healing, and this time it was a man who hasn't been able to hear and hasn't been able to speak.
Yeah, I think just reading some of the commentaries, too, the journey from Tyre to the Sea of Galilee was quite a lengthy one, and to go by Sidon was kind of going off the beaten path. So you kind of wonder, and I think this is the beauty of meditating on the Gospels. We sometimes just read them as words, but when you start going into the geography of it, it's kind of out of the way. So why did he go from Tyre to Sidon and then back to the Sea of Galilee? He obviously had his apostles with him, his disciples, and I'm sure as many of us who travel in the car together, we don't just play games always. Mm-hmm. We do to kind of pass the time, but certainly in Jesus' time and culture, they obviously, and because he's Jesus, spoke to them about many things. Leading up to in the next few chapters, Jesus will be proclaimed, or Peter will be acknowledging Jesus as the Christ. Who do people say that I am? So there was obviously a lot going on in their conversations. So I think when you look at an event like this, it's important to see that it's not just something that happened. There was a social context of that, and in Jesus's relationship with his disciples. He was always teaching them. He was reflecting with them. So this is part of that as well. So they bring to him a man who was deaf and also had a speech impediment. And but I think then the next part of that is a beautiful to see that he took the man off away by himself. Mm-hmm. So this is a personal encounter. This was not a gather around and watch.
Let me show you
moment.
What I can do. Kind
exactly.
Of thing.
Let me show you what I can do. This was not a display. It wasn't a circus. This was an intimate moment with this man, who obviously was embarrassed. I'm sure in some ways in the society of the time that he couldn't hear. If anyone called out to him, he couldn't hear them. So Jesus took him into a personal encounter with him, and I think many people would find the spitting a little bit. Mm-hmm. Odd, but again, we have to look at that, you know, doing a little research myself, that saliva was seen as a
medicinal
experience.
Right.
And so the spittle, the saliva was medicinal. And so putting Jesus' finger into the man's ear and then spitting and putting that saliva on his tongue, the man was cured, but not until after Jesus also looked up to heaven mm-hmm. and said the word Ephatha, that is, be open. So we have to see here that this was a divine intervention. This was not a guy running around curing people with some magical powers. This was God reaching out to his people, to a person, in a very, very intimate way. And with that, the speech impediment was removed, and he could then hear. And when, of course, again, this was one of those events where Jesus says, don't tell anyone or don't go spread it around, because he didn't want people to misunderstand who he was and what his mission was. But, of course, the more you tell people not to do it, they do it. The more you say this is a confidential memo, the more people publish it. So mm-hmm. there's all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. People get mm-hmm. excited about things that they don't quite understand. They just saw a man who was deaf and with a speech impediment, and now he could speak plainly and could hear. So not understanding what had happened, they just said he's done all things well, and they go and tell everyone. Mm-hmm. So what does this have to say to us? Because whenever we read the gospel in these moments, we might say, well, I've got a bad ankle, or maybe I'm deaf, and or maybe I've got this, maybe I've got that. Well, why isn't he doing that for me? But we have to look at why Jesus really came. He came to bring us the freedom and the healing that we all need, and that's an interior freedom. So it shows us that the true meaning of Jesus in our life is to bring us freedom. And we can look into ourselves and say, where do I find myself enslaved, or to what am I enslaved? What is my impediment to true freedom, mm-hmm. which is a freedom of God's love, to live in God's love, to experience true love, true mercy, etc. What is there that's blocking me? Maybe, Jesus came to forgive sins. When is the last time I really asked him through the sacrament of confession for ourselves, in a true sense of sorrow, to ask this sin to be removed, this impediment? So what are the impediments of my life in particular, not just in general? You know, I'm a bad guy, so make me better. Well, mm-hmm. come on, let's get a little more specific. And I think that's where these instances in the life of Jesus are important to us, because it's very specific. Whether it was the person that couldn't walk or couldn't see or couldn't hear, it's very specific. So when we're looking at the meaning of these moments in our own life, have we taken the intimate time going off and away and just speaking to Jesus heart to heart with faith, because he promised us whatever is asked in faith, I will do. Again, not just for my own good, but as a way to ask God's intervention in my life for his glory. And when we find that we do it in that way, we will find the freedom inside, even if the particular impediment does not leave, because we have to remember with St. Paul, he said three times, I asked him to remove the thorn. Mm-hmm. in my side. But he said, my grace is sufficient for, and he didn't do it. My grace is sufficient for you. So in that, St. Paul experienced freedom. Whatever the thorn was, it was not taken away, whether it was something physical. Some say he may have had a limp that or something, difficulty with his leg, with his walking ability, or it could have been something moral, something spiritual. But it was not taken away. But because he discovered God's grace, the grace of God in his life, he found freedom. And I think that's what this moment says to us, that if we are intimate with Christ, whatever it is we're asking for, we never give up saying, well, he didn't, you know, I asked him, he didn't do anything. Well, maybe he's doing, maybe he didn't do something, but maybe he's doing something as an ongoing healing of our life. So we have to seek, you know, what we're looking for is freedom. Freedom from ourselves, freedom from sin, freedom from whatever is, just go back to the word impediment, whatever is impeding me in experiencing the love of God and true joy and happiness. In the Pope's recent letter a couple of years ago or a year or so ago on holiness, he said one of the signs of holiness is joy. And if we can't find that joy, hopefully we can, then we're not on the road to holiness. We need to keep going, and joy comes from freedom, the freedom of to discover God's love, but also the freedom to love.
You know, I was reading in the Magnificat, there was a nice commentary from Bishop Robert Barron, and what I pulled out of it was, you know, that this, our world has become so secular, so where have we gone deaf to the Lord? And so as you brought out, we need to have that time and go away and reflect.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it's good to look to science. It's good to look to our own abilities to overcome something, but there's nothing that can replace that that encounter with God's grace and God's love, because that's true freedom. You know, we can cure something medically, but it'll, something else will happen. What we're looking for is a permanent interior freedom that only God can give us, only God.
Well, I like that you're telling us again, Bishop, because you've shared this before, that we may ask him for something and it doesn't happen, and we think that he's abandoned us or forgotten it, but keep on asking for it.
Yeah.
And you're right, it can be done in another way that we're not seeing until
because
all of a sudden,
then wisdom says, well, why hasn't he?
Right.
You know,
right.
Maybe because there's another grace that's hidden behind all of that, and we just have to look for it. I mean, I'm amazed at some people who can you know, really forgive someone who's done something horrible to them.
Oh, we hear about it with families.
We do that with family. We see the beauty of forgiveness, which is a it's a grace. It's not easy. It's not something we're just born with. But to do it with a real sense of trust in God's grace, the situation may not change, but the forgiveness is the way to freedom. And the same here. Whatever is bothering us, relying on God's grace in our life is freedom.
A lot for us to remember. You know, this is such a short gospel, but there's so much in the gospel for us to think about.
Sure.
So, well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for September. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Need help paying for groceries? Remember, there is SNAP. SNAP stands for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's administered locally by Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi, 615 Oliver Court, which serves 12 area counties. SNAP provides nutrition benefits to supplement the food budget of families in need so that they can purchase healthy foods and move toward self-sufficiency. To learn more, call 361-884-0651 Monday through Thursday from 7:30 a.m. till 5 p.m. or visit catholiccharities-cc.org. Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi, providing help, creating hope.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, once again, this is the first Sunday in September, so we have another beautiful reading of the Word of Life for September.
September's Word of Life that we are going to read now and meditate on a little bit is also calling us to a life with this. I think the last month we were there was on humility, you know, mm-hmm. whoever humbles himself like a little child mm-hmm. is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And so here's another one, which is a value that's not, let's just put it this way, it's not human, as the other one's not. To humble ourselves is not our normal way of thinking as we get up every morning. We're going to go conquer the world and not humble ourselves in front of the world around us. But this is taken from St. Mark's Gospel also, chapter 9, verse 35. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. The disciples were having a lively discussion among themselves as they traveled with Jesus to Capernaum. When Jesus asked them what they were talking about, however, they did not dare answer him, perhaps because they were ashamed. In fact, they were trying to establish who was the greatest among them. Jesus had spoken several times about his mysterious impending suffering, but for Peter and the others, it was too difficult to understand and accept. It would only be after experiencing Jesus' death and resurrection that they would discover who he really is, the Son of God, who gives his life out of love. That is why, to help them truly be his disciples, Jesus called them to come and sit down close to him as he revealed the true nature of evangelical primacy. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Jesus had confidence in his disciples despite their fragility and fears. He called them to follow him and to share his mission to serve everyone. Paul's exhortation to the Christians in Philippi comes to mind. Quote, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." End quote. Christians were called to serve, not so much as slaves forced into their work, but as a free people who would generously offer their skills and strengths. They were to give of themselves not only for the benefit of a specific group or party, but for all those who needed help, without exception and without prejudice. This is also a call for us today to have open hearts and minds, recognize and care for the needs of others, and be active in building relationships that are truly human. It is an invitation to put our talents to good use for the common good, and despite our failures, start anew each day. It is a call to put ourselves in the last place and together to keep striving toward a future and universal fraternity. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Focolare founder Chiara Lubich, commenting on this gospel passage in September of 1985, suggested ways we could put it into practice. And she said, "There are countless opportunities in everyday life when we, like Jesus, can choose to take the last place. If we have been asked to take the lead in completing an important task, let us not feel that we are somebody. Let us not give way to pride and arrogance. Instead, let us remember that the most important thing is to love our neighbor. Let us take advantage of the new situation to serve our neighbor better, without forgetting seemingly insignificant things such as nurturing personal relationships, doing simple household jobs, helping our parents, remembering peace and harmony in the family and educating children. Yes, whatever happens, let us remember that Christianity means to love and to have a preferential love for the least among us. If we live like this, we will continue to build up the kingdom of God on earth. Moreover, Jesus promised that if we do this, all the rest will be given to us too, health and material goods in abundance, to be shared with others. If we do this, we become the arms of God's providence for so many people. The protection of our common home, a strong theme in Christian witness for many years, is a particularly timely form of service that we can share with people around the world. For an increasing number of churches, the month of September opens with the celebration of the season of creation, which continues until October 4th, the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. On one such occasion in the past, the Tizé community proposed this prayer: God of love, as we remain in your presence, make us capable of grasping the infinite beauty of what you have created, of all that comes from you in your inexhaustible compassion. Increase our attention toward others and toward all creation. Teach us to discover the value of everything and make us bearers of peace in the human family.
I know, I sound like a broken record, Bishop, but this is just such another wonderful phrase for us to reflect on this month. One of the first things I noticed in the very beginning as you were reading this, and it was that Jesus, when he sat down with his disciples, he revealed the true nature of evangelical primacy. I don't think I've ever heard that term before.
Evangelical primacy.
Primacy, excuse me.
Evangelical, of course, means the gospel.
Right.
And primacy means, of course, the first, you know, the head. The true meaning of the nature of evangelical primacy, because, I mean, let's face it, you know, even in the Word of Life last month, it started off like we're all concerned who's the greatest, who has the best, who's first, who's the most popular, who's the wealthiest, who's the, you know, the greatest, these superlatives that we kind of deal with. And our culture really pushes us to that. Of course, we all should fulfill our God-given talents. But it seems like today, especially, you know, in certain circles, we always try to go beyond. You can't even watch a talent show today without somebody blowing up something or somebody jumping over 50,000 hoops of fire. You know, so we have to do these extreme things to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
We have to always go beyond the best. And in doing that, we place so much emphasis on our human strengths, our human abilities, our human talents, which are given to us. But why are they given to us? They're given to us for the common good, you know, for our own good, but also for the common good, to share, to build up people, to build up peace, to build up. So when we say then we're putting those as the primary values for us, is to be the best, to be seen, to be known, to be. We're here, Jesus was sitting with his disciples again quietly and just speaking to them of evangelical primacy, which means the values of the gospel. And if you just look at the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed are those that are not attached to things. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who show mercy. These are evangelical values that have primacy, have a value beyond others. So we can develop ourselves through our human talents. And again, we should do what is humanly possible for us, but always as gift, as self-gift. And that's part of the problem, too, with today, is that we use things for self-aggrandizement, we might say, to make ourselves better, but, you know, in a kind of self-referential way. But the values that we have as a human being are to be a gift for others, gift to God, gift to others, gift to ourselves. So to exaggerate those is what I think we're looking at here. So when Jesus speaks of evangelical primacy, putting ourselves at the service, which is what this word of life is about, whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. So not putting themselves out in the front, but serving others. That's the primacy. That's what brings about true human value and our human nature. Our human nature in the image of God is to be of service to others. You know, the trophies and the things that I got a bowling trophy when I was in college, believe it or not. Don't even know where it is.
I was about to ask you, do you still have
that? Don't even know where it is. Don't even know where it is. But you look at people who have really put their life at service to others, whether in the church or just in humanity, we remember. Mm-hmm. And they're remembered for centuries. Mm-hmm. Not that they want to, but they're a model. And so when Jesus gives this mandate or this teaching, whoever wants to be first, in other words, to be great, must take the last place and serve. Mm-hmm. That's what greatness is. That's an evangelical counsel. It's an evangelical primacy. That's first. Mm-hmm. And everything else follows.
Take care of others. And it explained that a little bit more in this about how you really can take care of others. I think a lot of us have done that.
That's why we're here.
And started to do that in the last year when we continue to have this pandemic, taking care of others.
Once we learn that, that's why we're here on earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we take to heaven with us and put before God.
Thank you, Bishop. Well, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, by whom we are redeemed and receive adoption, look graciously upon your beloved sons and daughters, that those who believe in Christ may receive true freedom and an everlasting inheritance. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you this day and always, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a very safe Labor Day weekend.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.